Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There were 7.4 and 6.1 magnitude earthquakes early last week in Japan. There was a 6.5 earthquake Friday in China, and closer to home, there were 3 earthquakes Friday in Oklahoma, one of which was as high as 4.3 on the Richter scale. The earthquakes in Asia are probably due to tectonic shifting, while the ones in Oklahoma are being attributed to oil and gas production. On this first Sunday in Advent, there is seismic activity in the gospel reading too, attributed to the advent or arrival of the Lord. The English word advent has its roots in the Latin word for coming to, and the Greek word that St. Matthew uses that is translated as stirred is the origin of our English word seismic. In fact, St. Matthew's divinely inspired gospel account uniquely reports what the English Standard Version translates as the stirring or shaking of the whole city of Jerusalem. The city asks, "Who is this?" And the crowds of visiting pilgrims answer, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, shakes the city as by an earthquake, exciting it as if to riot, essentially dividing it in judgment, as the prophet Zechariah had foretold of the Lord's coming. But as we believers consider the gospel reading this morning, we realize that the coming one saves us. We begin a new church year this day, and our 3-year series of readings draws our gospel readings primarily from St. Matthew's account, beginning as it does in each of the 3 years with an option on this first Sunday in Advent for the reading of the account of Jesus' Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. You and I may think of that reading as more appropriate for the Palm Sunday processional gospel. But today, the reading about Jesus' past coming in humility to save all people serves as a guarantee of Jesus' future coming in glory to judge the living and the dead. Jesus' past coming truly was in humility, riding on a donkey like King Solomon, with garments strewn before him like King Jehu, whom we recently discussed in our midweek Bible study. We also hear about the Lord's coming in today's Old Testament reading, which describes people of all nations being drawn to the Lord's house, and the Lord then coming to judge, bringing to people typically ravaged by war an era of peace. To some extent, the people of Jerusalem asking what to make of Jesus, we're not ready for his coming. While at least some of the people in the crowd were willing to confess Jesus, despite the danger of doing so at that time, risking, for example, at least excommunication from the Jewish religion. Are you and I ready for Jesus' coming? Obviously, I'm not talking about his past coming in humility to save all people, but am asking more about his future coming in glory to judge the living and the dead. Are you and I willing to confess Jesus despite the danger of doing so in our time, risking, for example, being socially cut off from our differently believing or unbelieving family and friends? At least part of our both being ready for Jesus' final coming and confessing him is realizing that we need him to come to us first, that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in or come to him, and that without repentance and faith in him, we deserve nothing but death here in time and torment in hell for eternity. But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel and enlightens us with his gifts. And so, drawn to him, we, with repentance and faith, call out for salvation, as we did this morning in the words of the intro, excerpted from the same psalm that the crowds of people in today's gospel reading sang responsively. Like them, we recognize that the coming one saves us. We turn to him in sorrow from our sin, with trust for him to forgive our sin, and with the desire to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives our sin of not being ready, or of failing to confess him, or whatever our sin might be. God forgives our sin, not because we have repented, but because Jesus came to save us. Today's gospel reading tells us that Jesus is sending two disciples ahead of him to find a donkey and its colt and to lead them back to him took place to fulfill what God spoke by the prophet Zechariah about the Lord's coming as a humble king mounted on a donkey. But fulfilling the prophecy was not only about details such as the king's being mounted on a donkey, but also about his coming to save his people in the first place. The crowds of people then were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," asking David's descendant for salvation. They were shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," praising the promised coming one and recognizing him as the Lord God himself. They were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest," urging the heavenly creatures to echo their refrain. For his part, Jesus had spoken as an all-knowing and all-powerful king and identified himself as the Lord. But for us and for our salvation, he humbled himself to be born into human flesh, to enter Jerusalem on a donkey, and to suffer and die on a cross. Though God in human flesh, Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart, and in him we find rest for our souls. Earthquakes accompany Jesus' death and resurrection, and they will accompany his final coming. But we do not need to be afraid, for the coming one saves us and so prepares us for that final coming through his means of grace. To be sure, God works through his ministry of word and sacrament. God spoke through Zechariah in the Old Testament, and Jesus worked through the disciples he sent with his authority. They went from untying donkeys to forgiving sins. The same Greek word is used for both. They used a foal of an animal under the yoke to help proclaim Jesus as the promised coming one. And then they and their successors themselves were put under the yoke of God's ministry. Thus, the Lord, through those he sends, puts his triune name upon us with the water and the word of holy baptism. And those he sends individually absolve us in that same triune name when we privately confess the sins we know and feel in our hearts. Under the service of those Jesus sends, we welcome the one who comes with his body and bread and with his blood in wine in the sacrament of the altar, singing, even in the liturgy of divine service setting 4, "Hosanna in the highest," and praising the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And it is there in the sacrament of the altar that the one who comes to save us does so most concretely. There, the coming one not only saves us, but also brings forth from us the fruits of faith, such as those we heard in today's epistle reading, the casting off of the works of darkness, making no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, but putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, the armor of light, and walking properly as in the daytime. The coming one saves us. Again, at the beginning of this church year and always, we remember that Jesus in the past came humbly to save all people, that he comes to us now in his word and sacraments to give us that salvation, and that he will come in the future in glory to judge the living and the dead. Every present earthquake is a reminder of those comings in the past and that coming in the future. But as we live each day in repentance and faith, we have nothing to fear. For from him who was, who is, and who is to come, we have grace and peace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.